Welcome to the official business and lifestyle legends podcast. Real life stories, exciting interviews, and a lot of knowledge to change your life. And here is your host of today's episode, Ben Schneider.
Welcome, guys, to the Business and Lifestyle Legends podcast. Today, I got another awesome guest for you. He is an incredible mixed martial arts fighter from Albuquerque, New Mexico, with over 80 fights in organizations like King of the Cage and Bellator MMA. His aggressive style has led to 70% of his wins by knockout or submission. But he's not only a fighter, he's also a successful entrepreneur owning businesses like Envirogate Roofing and Envirogate Solar. From the cage to the boardroom, his journey is a testament to resilience and determination. Stay tuned as we dive now into the captivating world of Donald Sanchez. Hey, Donald, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing? Thanks for having me. You know, I'm going to correct you on the name of the business. It's Envirogate. So I know there's the language and everything, but thank you. I appreciate that.
So I'm sorry for this. I'm from Germany. No, so maybe sometimes, but yeah, you corrected it. So everybody knows now how it's pronounced correctly.
Yes, sir. Got to correct that name. Keep that name going.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's very important. So, you started as a mixed martial arts fighter and you were very successful in this place. So what do you think? Why does this lead to you to an entrepreneur and not to a normal job, being a fighter and then heading over to an entrepreneur?
You know, I've always grown up and I had a fin for myself. So I learned that within the mixed martial arts scene, there wasn't very much money involved when I first started. You know, the money's barely getting there now for athletes, being a professional athlete and whatnot. So I had to learn how to shuffle things around and make sure I got the right training in and everything. During that time, I would make money for fights, and I had to, you know, kind of save that money and be frugal with it and figure it out and figure out ways of doing different things. So it led me into learning how to business finance a lot better. So I would definitely say that was one of the main things for it.
As a professional fighter, how much money did you earn per fight? Or did you have sponsorships? Or
yeah, man. So you know, it started out very, very little, you know, not even enough to pay for gas money to travel to some of these places and everything. I wasn't making anything, but the sponsors are what held it all together for me. I had lots of people that believed in me, and I thank them very much. You know, they got me through that, and it ended up, you know, I made some good money overseas and everything like that. You know, I made enough to buy some houses and start business and stuff like that. So it was good.
Okay, so, but you was not able to get rich by fighting alone?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, I was by no means a superstar like a John Jones or Ronda Rousey or someone like that. So right now in the mixed martial arts scene, the superstars are the only ones that are really making the big, big money. So, there's people making $100,000 American and maybe $200,000. But the amount of money and time we have to put into our bodies and everything like that, you're almost breaking even at that point. People don't really understand that. So it's a huge thing.
So you need to have true passion to face all the sacrifices and stuff. So you're not doing it for the money, right?
Absolutely. I never did it for the money either in the first place. You know, it was cool and everything that it started to come, and I was able to make a little bit, but it was always the passion. And if I ever have to talk to anybody, mentor them or anything in the fighting scene, I would say definitely only do it for the passion, never the money.
Yeah, it's funny because I was sitting here with Andrew Tate, a while ago, and he is, I think, kickbox world champion. And he told me the same. So he also told me, you can make a good amount of money to make a living out of it and maybe buy some good stuff, but you're not getting rich by fighting. Let's generalize it like this. So he told me, you're not getting rich by fighting. And he was world champion. And yeah, but I think maybe in your case, it's the same. Did you make some contacts and building a network out of this fighting scene that helps you starting as an entrepreneur or being an entrepreneur then in the second step?
Absolutely, 100%. That's the most I gained out of all of it was contacts. Your network is your net worth. So the network that I gained out of it overseas, you know, different countries, even here locally. People loved me because of it. So it helped me out so much for my business and everything like that. Now that I traveled all around the world and everything, I get to go lots of places and do lots of things with people that I met along the career as well. So that's 100% correct. The network is what you gain most out of it.
Have you ever been to Germany when you were traveling the world?
So when I fought in Russia, I had a layover in Germany, and I wasn't there for maybe 12 hours or something, but I was there. I liked it, but I stayed right near the airport and everything. I didn't get to go explore. I would love to though.
Okay. So that doesn't count, man. 12 hours doesn't count.
Absolutely not. So if you're inviting me over there, I'm in and I'm coming. Let's go.
Yeah, let's see how it turns out. So, your first steps as an entrepreneur, had it been after your career or was it parallel? Or, how did you head over to be an entrepreneur and what was the first steps for you?
You know, I had several different things going on throughout my career. To stay busy and obviously I had a family to take care of and everything. So I have other businesses that are still going, still active and everything, that I had started during that time. I knew that I had to supplement for what I'm not going to make doing my passion of fighting. And I started that at the very beginning. So it definitely, it's parallel with the career, indeed. What I do now is on a bigger level. So I still have those smaller companies, but now I'm just on a larger scale of type of things that taught me along the way.
Okay, so you now have a roofing company that has quite nothing to do with fighting. We talked about that you have to have a lot of passion for the fighting, let's say for the fighting industry, for getting the entrepreneurial character. So why you're doing roofing stuff and not fighting stuff, like doing promotion for fights or something like that?
My family was always in the trades, and the trades are absolutely hard, grueling things to do. So for me, I always like to, there's a book out there, it's called Work Smarter, Work Harder, Work Smarter type of thing. And that was the thing that I wanted to build, because I saw how hard my dad worked growing up, and he still does to this day. And I don't understand, you know, you got to work smarter, not harder. And I just wanted to build a new system for all my guys so that they can not always be doing the labor type of things and everything like that. They could do both, but make more money along the way. I love helping them make money. Even the guys that are just labor and whatnot, I want them to grow as a person. So it's more of a company where I develop people. So that's what I liked about it, and that's what I brought into it.
Have you created your two roofing businesses from scratch?
100% scratch. I had other partners before we started and everything like that. And I just, we didn't like the way each other worked with each other. And I had a different vision than they did. You know, money was stolen. I'll just say that. And not me stealing from, they were stealing from me. So we went different directions, and I learned the hard way in a lot of different aspects.
Hey, you're a fighter. You need to learn the hard way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I was born with this type of thing where I have to learn the hard way. You know, whether someone tells me how to do it or not, or leads me how to do it, I always did it the hardest way. And for me, I know that's how I am because I'm a fighter and I love fighting. But for other people, I want to help them make it the easier way, you know?
Yeah, but this is something I think most of the entrepreneurs or the self-made entrepreneurs have in common, because I'm always thinking about how to go the smartest way. I don't know how to, because I always, it feels like I always go the hard way. So I always have failures and tough times and rough times. So it's pretty easy set to go a smart way, work smarter. But when you start, I don't know, man. I have also, like you said, I've also done so much things incorrect and need to learn it again and again, and fell down and stand up. So let me know about some setbacks you had in your career, maybe in the fighting career, but also on the entrepreneurial side. Or was your companies always going up, or are you facing some setbacks?
Oh, 100%. You know, my fighting career, you can look me up. Everyone looks me up. You know, I have tons of losses. And the thing was, I always wanted to fight the better people, and they would always call me last minute, and I would always stay ready. My losses is what taught me different crafts of the mixed martial arts. I would lose in a certain position, and I would go back to the drawing board from there. And the same thing goes for business. You know, I've lost lots of money on deals and stuff where we really, really messed up. But at the end of the day, we went and fixed those problems, and we learned from it. Now we created a process never to do that again, you know. So taking a loss is actually a gain. For my guys, we have this motto, it's a fail forward, because a failure isn't falling back necessarily, because we're going to learn from it, we're going to fix it, and we're going to go forward. So we fail forward.
So you told me you have around 50 people now in the company working for you or with you. How did you build this? Because 50 people is not like 5 people. 50 people is a good company. I'm not 100% sure how the translation is to American, but in Germany it's something like a middle class company. So 50 to 200 people, I think. How did you build this? How did you scale your company like this? And through which time span was this?
It's all been within, I would say this actual company has been 3-4 years. What I did is I show how I do it. I'm a leader. I'm not a boss. You know, I go in the front and I have to lead by example. So every single position, I try to lead by example on what I do. I try to learn every aspect of everything we're doing, so that way I know what the hell I'm talking about, you know? If you don't know what you're talking about, then you can't lead these people. So if the people don't trust you and look up to you for this, why, how could you not build in? And I just created this vision of for people of everything, and they want to be a part of that. That's how we did that, you know. We've actually been named one of the fastest growing companies in our city. We're receiving a reward this week, actually on Thursday. So it's been We've doubled every single year since year one, and it's been really cool. And it's not because of me, but it's because of all the people involved. But they trusted me, they saw my vision, and they learned from it. And I try to lead by example. That's all it is. You got to lead by example.
Let's dig a little bit deeper into this. What is your vision you told you guys or you convinced you guys about?
You know, I want to be one of the biggest corporations in our town, but with the industry that we have over here and the Wall Street people are trying to get involved and push their money around and everything like that, I want to do it organically. I don't want to use their money and keep growing. And they see that. They see the big vision of everything, all these companies growing huge. And it's helping the people. It's helping our actual community. And that's what they see. And they like helping people too. They like following me the way I like to help them. They like to help the consumer as well. So the vision, I want to be one of the biggest corporations here in our industry and take over that. And obviously we're going to move to other states and whatnot, but it's one step at a time. And that's how we've done it, one step at a time, you know.
Do you want to do that by yourself or franchising your company to other cities?
Obviously, franchising is the way to go. But it has to be with the people that helped grow it and them wanting to go to other places and being a franchise owner as well. I'm not going to just let someone come in and feed me money to buy a franchise at another place, because that could ruin the reputation at the same time. You know, our people here, they understand the core values and what we're about and whatnot. So it really has to be someone that sets in for that. That type of thing. I understand that to grow immensely, you know, sometimes you gotta give here and there. But for me, I want it to be organic.
Okay. What do you think? How important is the sales part for your company? Because you're telling, you're convincing your people about your vision and stuff like that, but to hire people, you need to acquire customers, right? So how important is it for you? Is it a very competitive market you're in? So is it easy to get clients, or do you have to be cheaper than your competitors, or what is your...
So for us, I actually just interviewed about 30 minutes ago. I had an interview and he was a salesman. He was a solar salesman. All he knows how to do is sell. And I let him know, you know, we aren't selling. We're providing a service. We're providing a service to someone that needs something on their home. This is probably their most valuable asset that they're ever going to own in their life. And for their roof to be leaking into their house is a bad thing. You know, we got to protect their valuables in there. I actually turned this guy down because he's a salesman and all he was trying to do was sell me, sell me, sell me. We're not selling anybody. We're providing a service. And for us, we're actually probably the highest. When we send out a bid, it's not the cheapest by far, but we do offer the better warranties, better everything, better product. We don't go cheap on anything. So I think that's what's made us grow so much, is the integrity behind everything. And we're honest with our consumer as well.
You said something very important right now, and I want to repeat and sum up this real quick. You said you guys are not the cheapest. And what I experience, because I do paid ads, Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that for companies, e-commerce, and so on. And I'm also not the cheapest. What I experience is if you deliver a premium service or a premium product for a premium price, then you acquire premium customers. If you serve something cheap, not the best product, not the best service, for sure, because you are cheap. They cannot expect the best service if they buy cheap. you acquire customers with no money, but they also want to have premium service delivered. That gives you some headaches. What do you think about that?
Oh man. Yeah, that's huge. You know, what you put out there is what you get. So for me, not every customer is a good customer. Some people don't understand that, and they will do business with anybody. And when some of my guys come in and they're frustrated and they're like, this customer wants this, this, and this. And if they budged at all on their price, I tell them that you messed up right there. That wasn't the right customer. So when you give a premium, it's for a premium customer, and those are the ones you attract. If you want to attract the less premium, you're lowering your cost of everything or whatever you want payment wise from these people. That's what you're attracting, and it's not a good thing. I don't believe in it at all. So you get what you attract. You know you're getting what you're putting out there into everything. So that's where we've done really well, and I try to teach the guys. So for anybody in sales, if you're gonna give a premium price, you know, you better do premium work. But if you have premium work, you better give a premium price too.
Yeah, again, something really important. You can not only put up a big price label, you also need to deliver then the premium price. So this is very important for the people to understand. You cannot only double your price and deliver the same service. So you really, it has to be in alignment to the price, right, and the delivered service then. What do you think was the worst decision you have made in the past 3 years? So was there something you have, I don't know, burnt a lot of money, or you hired someone that was very bad for your company? Or what was the worst decision Donald made in the past 3 years?
So I'll be honest. The worst decision necessarily wasn't a decision on my behalf, but I went with it, and it was going against my gut. We hired someone, and it was a friend of a friend, and that person ended up stealing a lot of stuff and ended up being a big, huge loss on a big project, like our biggest to date. It ended up costing us a lot of money, and it could have ruined our reputation. So my biggest mistake is not listening to my gut.
Okay, that's something like, I hired someone from someone I know. This guy was looking for a job, so I didn't prove him really. Or I think like that, we will made it with him, but usually you wouldn't have hired him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I knew that the guy had problems, and I didn't want to do it, but I felt like maybe I could help this guy change. Maybe I can, but I saw him not wanting to change. So it's not, you can't change someone if they don't want to be changed. That's it. Plain and simple. You cannot change them.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And you're trying to, and you want to give him a chance, but at the end, you realized you shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, it was chance after chance after chance. And, he would make one step forward and then three steps back. And I just kept going with it, thinking I'm going to change this guy. I'm going to help him. And it ended up really screwing us over. And it was a tough one to swallow, but you know, he's no longer here and doing his own thing. So I taught him a lot of stuff, and he's out doing his own thing. Good for him. It makes me feel good that he can go do that on his own, and he's not so much a competition, but he's another person out here. I don't look as anyone competition out here. So we do our own thing, and our competitors, you know, usually come to us for help. So I did what I could with him.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. So let's talk about real quick about mindset. And for me as a German guy, it's always interesting to ask my people in the podcast from other countries some stuff about mindset in their country. So how do you experience the mindset in America or in your state, especially about business, about entrepreneurship, about making more out of their lives, not working 9 to 5? How is it in your state from your perspective?
So over here, I don't like it. They are, you're raised up and you're taught a certain thing out here. And it's so like the 9 to 5, like you say, and, you know, it's a government type of thing, and they try to control you in a certain way. You have to have a mindset, not necessarily a rebellion style. But it's kind of similar, like Andrew Tate is always saying, you know, you got to do your own thing, and you got to lead that path and everything. Out here it's considered the 1%, and that 1% is doing everything different. Then you're not following a pack. You got to lead a pack. You can't be the sheep out here. I guess it's a little rebellious. You got to be mindset wise. You know, you got to go against the grain out here. You got to do it the hard way, or you're going to just be following like everybody else. And you're going to be at a 9 to 5. You're going to be miserable. You're not going to like things. You're not going to like your job. You're not going to like your life. You're not going to like your wife or your husband, because that's the way it is. I experienced that with my ex-wife. She worked a 9 to 5 and she couldn't understand why I would do it this way and that way. And it didn't work out, you know? So, and she's still doing the same damn thing. And that's how they're going to do until they change their mind.
So then America and Germany is not that different. So a lot of German people are looking overseas to America and think everything is better there. And all people are like having an entrepreneurial mindset, and everybody, yeah, is not in that 9 to 5 game, but you told me something else. So it's quite like the same here. So you've been something taught in school, and you're not educated to be an entrepreneur. You've been educated to be a 9 to 5 worker.
Absolutely. Yeah. They don't teach us how to do our taxes. They don't teach us how to save our money and invest it into other things. All they want us to do is save, go work. They want to say, buy this house, buy this car. You know, they're teaching everybody to go backwards, honestly, and never to excel, because they want to keep that money to themselves. In my opinion, you know, it's just, I completely disagree with how everyone does it. My dad was very guilty of it. He works hard as hell, and he still works to this day. And he drives 2 hours to his job, 2 hours back, and works his ass off. And he's not ahead in life. He's never going to be wealthy. He's never going to, you know, he took a loss on all of his retirement because of the stocks out here and everything. It's just, like, I don't understand, like, why they want to keep doing that and believing in it. It's crazy.
Jesus, 2 hours one way to go to work. When I compare this to my house is right over here. I go through two doors and then I'm in my office in another building. I would never drive 2 hours.
No way.
To go to work.
Me either. You know, it sucks because he was never part of my life, because that's all he did too. You know, he was there for the weekends and that was it. You know, he was gone by 4 in the morning and back at 6 in the evening. And it was already, you know, I was asleep in the morning when he was leaving, and I was getting ready for bed for school, you know, and that's all they always try to preach to me. And I knew that wasn't the way of life. So I didn't want that. I never wanted to be any of that, you know. I did learn hard work from him, because that's all I do is work my ass off, but I learned how to work smarter with it. So That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You need to work smart, also hard, but you're not getting rich by only work hard. So doing the hard work, you see, whole countries are working hard, but they are not all rich. Let's do 10 real quick questions. And I don't need a very long answer from you. Just what comes into your mind first. Just answer right away.
Okay.
What do you like more, Lamborghini or Ferrari?
I'm a Ferrari guy. My best friend has a Lamborghini, so I don't want the same car as him.
I saw that on your Instagram.
Yeah.
With which person in the world would you like to switch for one day?
No one. I want to be myself. I don't want to switch with anyone.
Oh, that's incredible. Not to see how, I don't know, the life looks like from a famous rock star, celebrity, or anything like that.
Nope. I don't idol anybody. I look forward to my life. I love my life, and I want to do what I do and not what anyone else does.
That's very confident, man. I spend more time on YouTube, TikTok, or Instagram.
Ooh, I would say I spend more time on YouTube. I'm always loving to, I want to learn. I want to learn what people are doing right and what people are doing wrong. And I want to implement in my ways.
Awesome answer. Let me ask an additional question. What are you learning on YouTube? Is it business stuff? Is it especially your roofing stuff? Is it, I don't know, mindset?
I go with all business types of stuff. A lot of motivational stuff, you know. So business, motivational helps me implement more in business, but I get lots of ideas of ways I want to tweak things in business or maybe start another business. You never know, you know. You could find anything on YouTube.
Definitely, that's awesome these times, because I'm a lot of in TikTok, but not only seeing the bikini girls and stuff like that, but also I learned so much about AI. The whole AI knowledge I had in the past few months, I all gained that from TikTok videos. So for sure, the TikTok video is not giving you the knowledge you need to implement. You need to try and do it yourself then. But just seeing what is or what is possible, what is happening out there, social media is incredible for education. What you mentioned,
absolutely.
Online business or offline business?
I understand, you know, with online business, you can scale quite a bit and everything, especially with social media and YouTube and everything. But I like my brick and mortar. I like to be hands on type of thing. But, you know, implementing online business is absolutely key for business. So just not so my type of business right now that's excelling, you know?
Yeah. Gotcha. Do you have more than $1 million in your bank account right now?
I do. Yes.
Congrats. The biggest thing I hate in life is?
The biggest thing I hate in life is quitters. I can't stand quitters. You know, you got to keep fighting. You got to keep fighting and doing, you know, never give up on what you're doing.
Awesome. Not sure if you see the picture behind me, the green one. There's my life motto on it. Giving up is not an option. So
I like cannot that. It's give a little up. Blurry, but I can see it, you know?
Yeah, it's blurry because of the camera. But giving up is not an option. So as you mentioned, quitting is no option. If tomorrow would be the last day on earth for you, what would you do?
I would just be thankful of the people in my life. I would want to tell everyone thank you and appreciate. I just appreciate the days that I've had. That's all.
Okay, awesome. Nothing special to do. You always wanted to do, like, I don't know, skydiving or anything.
No, anything man, stupid. I, I actually had that on my bucket list, and I went about 2 weeks ago. I took off and I said, I'm going to do this, and I did it. So if I want to do something, I do it. That's the thing, you know, maybe something will pop up in my head, but I'm gonna go do that. So nothing specific right now, but I would rather be thankful for my life and the past and everyone in it.
Awesome. A perfect day for me is when?
Whew, a perfect day for me is seeing everybody around me getting better. I love it. I love when people are getting better, and that's good for me, because if the people around me are getting better, that means I'm getting better.
Awesome. Are you a supporter with your network?
Oh, I'm 100% support. I support the people that support me. I even support other people that, you know, are so, you know, haters or whatever you want to call it. You know, I support them too.
that's kind of you. You support your haters.
Yeah, man. You know, all publicity is good publicity, they say.
That's right. The best advice I could give my 18 years old is?
Oh, man. When I was 18 years old, I was in tons and tons of trouble, but I would never take that back. So I would never go back in time and want to change anything, because what I did in those times, I learned from it. And, you know, maybe I would say, spending my money more wisely back then when I had it.
So you spend your money you had on dumb shit?
Lots of dumb shit, you know, tons of cars and partying. I was partying back then, and it, you know, I don't really like to party. You know, I guess I learned that at a young age, but it's, you know, it was a lot of waste of money, we'll see.
What was the most expensive car that was a waste of money you have bought?
So I like old cars. I had a 1963 Impala, and I had to restore it. It was just a huge money pit. You know, it was a couple hundred thousand dollars in the hole, and it was a waste of money.
Yeah, restoring cars, classic cars, is always...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very expensive.
The crazy thing is I would probably buy another one and do it again, but it was a waste of money.
That's crazy. But yeah. Hey, if you enjoy this, then maybe it's worth it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I love the car, so I guess I probably enjoy it, we'll say.
Awesome. Rich and famous or rich and unknown?
I never chased the fortune and the fame. I've never chased it. You know, I would rather be rich and unknown, to be honest, you know, but I would like to be out there for people that I could motivate and help and be a mentor towards, you know, that type of thing. I don't care about people knowing me. As you can see, you know, I'm not really well known in the MMA industry, because I didn't care about all that, the fame and everything. I just wanted to fight. I love to fight. And business wise, you know, I'm getting a name for myself, but all I want to do for my name is to help other people. That's it.
Okay. That's interesting answer. How important is luxury stuff for you? I'm seeing you wearing a Rolex Submariner Bicolor.
Yeah, that's it.
It's the same watch I have also. I'm not wearing it right now, but I do have the same watch. How important is the luxury stuff for you, cars?
It's not important for me. It's not important, but... having nice things is showing a gratitude of your hard labor and everything like that. But I'm also like watches. It's got to be an investment type of thing for me. I'll be able to get my money back for what I got this, you know, probably plus some. So I want stuff that I can probably pass on to my kids or something like that, you know. So Yeah, I'm a little picky with my clothes and stuff too, but I'm more comfortable. Like it's better made and everything like that. I wouldn't say it's for the luxury because I don't care about the name brand stuff or whatnot, but it is, it's better made, I'll say.
Yeah, it's interesting because what you mentioned, because of the watches, they are worth it or they are worth more than what you bought it. So I bought my watch for, I think, 10 or 11,000 euros, and now it's worth, I think, 18 or something like that. So like crazy what's going on in the past years. In my surrounding, my family, et cetera, they do not really understand how you can spend that much money on a watch. So it's just a watch. It only tells you the time, they say. So they cannot understand that they buy for $400 a swatch or something like that that is worthless in 2 months. So they cannot understand it. But with clothes, for example, I'm not really into this. So I wear brands like Boss, for example, but not like Prada or Louis Vuitton's. Or I bought my wife a Louis Vuitton, but I think, yeah, also it's maybe worth it. You can resell it. But right now, I would not pay $500 for a t-shirt or something like that. How do you see that? Is it the same with you, or are you gonna pay that much money for clothes?
I have, but I prefer Boss clothing. I love Boss, but every day you'll see me, every single day you'll see me with my shirts. These are cheap shirts. It's a nice, comfortable shirt, but it's a cheap shirt, but it has my logo, and I wear it everywhere I go. Jeans and a shirt like this. When I'm in town and whatnot, but other than that, I do wear Boss a lot. I like Boss, and I like Lululemon for my underwear. So I don't know if that's crazy. They're expensive, but not too expensive in my opinion. But I do have some expensive shirts and stuff. I love shoes, so I will buy expensive shoes. So that's one thing that I will spend on.
Okay, what would you say to young people, and not young like 15 years, maybe young like up to 25, that they spend all their money on smartphones, on clothes, on stuff they are basically worthless? What would you give them for an advice?
Man, it's stupid. I get it. There's a fad and everything, and you want to look part for everything. But at the end of the day, if you can't resell it for the same price that you bought it for after having it for a certain amount of time, I absolutely say no. I also have another thing. If you can't buy 10 of those things right now with your own money, you shouldn't buy it. That's my thing with anything. If you can't buy 10 of those right now, don't buy it. Unless it's an asset type of thing. So that's where I am. There's guys out here, they do stocks and stuff. Why wouldn't you own a piece of stock for Apple instead of buying that new Apple phone type of thing? It's just, that's how I think as well.
Yeah, that's a good one for young people. So if you cannot afford to buy 10 of them right now, you shouldn't buy it because it's basically not worth it. But that's the shiny object syndrome, like on Instagram and social media. Everyone want to look rich, but yeah,
Right.
not everybody
Yeah.
is really rich. So for the end of this episode, what would you give out for an advice? What is the most worthy advice you can give to the listeners right now who are already in the entrepreneurial business or wanted to be there?
I want to say, always invest into yourself. I want to say never give up. And most importantly, you just got to keep moving forward in the entrepreneurial type of things. So, but number one, I always say this, I know it's a lot of money, but pay for a mentor. Mentors, it's going into yourself and you're not necessarily paying that mentor, but you learn so much stuff. I have a couple mentors and I pay for it. And it's a good thing. And that's what I like to do. I pay for it, but I give it for free to my guys. And I, you know, it's huge. It's personal development. Always do personal development.
Okay, awesome. So definitely people should follow you on Instagram. So it's linked in the description, your Instagram channel for sure. Let me grab that one little advice, or that one last advice you gave with the mentor. What do you think how to find a good mentor? Because there are those people out there, I don't want to name one, but on social media with millions of followers, you can buy the mentorship for, I don't know, $50,000 or something like that, or 100K. But then you are not having him as your mentor. You are just one out of 500 other guys who also bought that mentor package. So what would you recommend how to find a good mentor?
You know, you have to do your due diligence of studying the program, you know, and asking maybe people around for them. But you really got to gravitate towards that type of person and try to talk to them directly if you're going to do a program. Like you said, there's a bunch of fake ones out here, and you end up with someone else. I'm not going to lie, I've wasted my money on some of those, but I found my way. I found my person, and, you know, they're out there. So you got to do your part in finding them. So don't just jump on the train for anybody, because there's tons of hype. There's tons of stuff out here, and you will waste your money on some. I'm guilty of it.
How much money did you spend on programs like this in the past 3 years?
In the past 4 years, on fake ones or in total?
In total, but you can separate that if you want.
You know, I've at least spent 300,000 to 400,000 in the last 4 years.
That's a lot, man. Hopefully, yeah, not the most of it in fake ones.
Oh no, you know, I'm maybe a quarter of that was no good and a waste of money, but you know, you're never always going to get your money's worth in everything, if that makes sense. So, you know, sometimes you got to do trial and error. And like we said at the beginning, I learned the hard way. So, and that's the only way.
Yes, man. That leads us to the end right now. Very good word at the end. So thanks for your time, Donald. Appreciate it having you here on the show.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. You know, it was great talking to you. You know, it's fun. I like to talk. So thank you for having me.
Definitely. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being here. And hopefully you guys liked this episode. And just stay with us in the next episode and learn out of it and execute, because only listening to podcasts will not change your life. You need to execute what you have learned and getting better. And what Donald said, sometimes trial and error and find your own way. Podcasts are always inspiration, but you need to execute and do your own stuff. So listen to us in the next episode. Bye-bye, guys. Thank you, Donald. All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.